You swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Let the record show that the witness has answered in the affirmative. Thank you, and please be seated.
Former Ambassador to Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch being sworn in this morning. She's testifying in the second day of public impeachment hearings before the committee, which is looking into whether President Trump abused his power by asking Ukraine to investigate his political rival, Joe Biden. Yovanovitch factors into the inquiry because she was abruptly recalled from her post in May. Her boss told her she had done nothing wrong, but that the president had lost confidence in her. She says she was the victim of a smear campaign. Other witnesses have said the same. And today, she described her record before she was removed.
During my tenure in Ukraine, I went to the front line approximately 10 times during a hot war to show the American flag, to hear what was going on, sometimes literally as we heard the impact of artillery, and to see how our assistance dollars were being put to use. I worked to advance U.S. policy, fully embraced by Democrats and Republicans alike, to help Ukraine become a stable and independent democratic state with a market economy integrated into Europe. A secure, democratic, and free Ukraine serves not just the Ukrainian people, but the American people as well. That's why it was our policy, continues to be our policy, to help the Ukrainians achieve their objectives. They match our objectives. The U.S. is the most powerful country in the history of the world, in large part because of our values. And our values have made possible the network of alliances and partnerships that buttresses our own strength. Ukraine, with an enormous landmass and a large population, has the potential to be a significant commercial and political partner for the United States, as well as a force multiplier on the security side. We see the potential in Ukraine. Russia sees, by contrast, sees the risk. The history is not written yet, but Ukraine could move out of Russia's orbit. And now, Ukraine is a battleground for great power competition, with a hot war for the control of territory and a hybrid war to control Ukraine's leadership. The U.S. has provided significant security assistance since the onset of the war against Russia in 2014. And the Trump administration strengthened our policy by approving the provision to Ukraine of anti-tank missiles known as Javelins. Supporting Ukraine is the right thing to do. It's also the smart thing to do. If Russia prevails and Ukraine falls to Russian dominion, we can expect to see other attempts by Russia to expand its territory and its influence.
Chairman Adam Schiff also asked Yovanovitch today about losing her post and whether the State Department tried to intervene during what they called the smear campaign against her.
In the face of this smear campaign, did colleagues at the State Department try to get a statement of support for you from Secretary Pompeo?
Yes.
Were they successful?
No.
Did you come to learn that they couldn't issue such a statement because they feared it would be undercut by the president?
Yes.
And then were you told that though you had done nothing wrong, you did not enjoy the confidence of the president and could no longer serve as ambassador?
Yes, that is correct.
And in fact, you flew home from Kiev on the same day as the inauguration of Ukraine's new president?
That's true.
That inauguration was attended by three who have become known as the Three Amigos, Ambassadors Sondland, Volker, and Perry, was it?
Yes.
And 3 days after that inauguration, in a meeting with President Trump, are you aware that the president designated these Three Amigos to coordinate Ukraine policy with Rudy Giuliani?
Since then, I have become aware of that.
This is the same Rudy Giuliani who orchestrated the smear campaign against you?
Yes.
And the same Rudy Giuliani who, during the now infamous July 25th phone call, the president recommended to Zelensky in the context of the two investigations the president wanted into the 2016 election and the Bidens?
Yes.
And finally, Ambassador, in that July 25th phone call, the president praises one of these corrupt former Ukrainian prosecutors and says they were treated very unfairly. They were treated unfairly. Not you, who was smeared and recalled, but one of them. What message does that send to your colleagues in the U.S. Embassy in Kiev?
I'm just not sure what the basis for that kind of a statement would be. Certainly not from our reporting over years.
Did you have concern, though, or do you have concern today about what message the president's action sends to the people who are still in Ukraine representing the United States when a well-respected ambassador can be smeared out of her post with the participation and acquiescence of the president of the United States?
Well, it's, I think, been a big hit for morale, both at U.S. Embassy Kyiv, but also more broadly in the State Department.
Is it fair to say that other ambassadors and others of lesser rank who serve the United States and embassies around the world might look at this and think, if I take on corrupt people in these countries, that could happen to me?
I think that's a fair statement, yes.
Republicans are using today's hearing to criticize Democrats for holding the impeachment inquiry at all. Here is ranking committee member Republican Devin Nunes.
It's unfortunate that today and for most of next week, we will continue engaging in the Democrats' day-long TV spectacles instead of solving the problems we were all sent to Washington to address. We now have a major trade agreement with Canada and Mexico ready for approval, a deal that would create jobs and boost our economy. Meanwhile, we have not yet approved funding for the government, which expires next week, along with funding for our men and women in uniform. Instead, the Democrats have convened us once again to advance their operation to topple a duly elected president. I'll note that five Democrats on this committee had already voted to impeach this president before the Trump-Zelensky phone call occurred. In fact, Democrats have been vowing to oust President Trump since the day he was elected. So Americans can rightly suspect that his phone call with President Zelensky was used as an excuse for the Democrats to fulfill their Watergate fantasies.
Well, during Yovanovitch's testimony, President Trump sent out a tweet attacking her. He said everywhere Yovanovitch went turned bad. She disagreed and said she felt things were improving.
Ukraine, for example, where there are huge challenges, including, you know, on the issue that we're discussing today of corruption. Huge challenges. But they've made a lot of progress since 2014, including in the years that I was there. And I think in part, the Ukrainian people get the most credit for that. But a part of that credit goes to the work of the United States and to me as the ambassador in Ukraine.
Ambassador, you've shown the courage to come forward today and testify. Notwithstanding the fact you were urged by the White House or State Department not to, notwithstanding the fact that, as you testified earlier, the president implicitly threatened you in that call record, and now the president in real time is attacking you, what effect do you think that has on other witnesses' willingness to come forward and expose wrongdoing?
Well, it's very intimidating.
It's designed to intimidate, is it not?
I mean, I can't speak to what the president is trying to do, but I think the effect is to be intimidating.
Well, I want to let you know, Ambassador, that some of us here take witness intimidation very, very seriously.
Some sound from today's impeachment hearings.